Opportunities for you. There is the Backpack Beginnings, which annual conference is coming upon us very quickly. We'd encourage you, new items please, for toothbrushes, toothpaste, and you can see the list in your bulletin and just bring those to the church and we'll get those to annual conference. We also want to highlight, if you didn't receive your complimentary 8x10, those are in the narthex on the table and you can just initial and please pick those up. We appreciate everyone who has participated in that, and we're getting the final touches on the directory as we speak, and those should be rolled out here shortly. We do want to highlight in the back, if you see the bucket, that's part of a men's ministry outreach to help a member winterize their home, and so you can make donations either through the offering or if you would be more than inclined to place in the bucket back there, we'd greatly appreciate that as well. And we just want to highlight as well with men's ministry, they're meeting this coming Saturday at 7 a.m. and that's at Blue Star Family Restaurant. So we encourage all men to come out 7 a.m. on Saturday to the men's ministry prayer breakfast, and there'll be a devotion and of course a great time of fellowship. Any other announcements this morning that we would like to highlight before we begin our worship? All right, let's pray, and we invite the faithful men to come forward for their special music, and let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning. You know the week that we've had, you know the day we've had so far, and we're just surrendering it in this very moment to you. We're asking you, Father, to have your way through your written word and through the songs that we sing, Father, that we would hear them, not only sing them, but hear them and what their words and the power that are in those words say to us today. So help us to glorify you in all that we do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The King and I walk down life's road together, where many people go passing by. The greatest one and I, a lowly beggar, walk hand in hand. He holds the whole world in his hand, but what am I? And so my heart somehow can't help but wonder why we're together, the King and I. I, not long ago, were strangers. I walked alone, not knowing why, until he came and put his arms around me. Now we're not strangers, the King. He holds the whole world in his hand, but what am I? And so my heart somehow can't help but wonder why we're together, always together, the King of all.
Would you please?
He indeed is a mighty God, and he invites us to come before him with our joys and concerns and share as a church family. There'll be a microphone coming around, and we can share with joys and concerns this morning.
I just want to thank everybody for your prayers for Daniel. I just wanted to tell everyone that on Thursday, this past Thursday, we are 1 month on the new med and 1 month seizure-free. So thank you, guys. Keep them coming.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Amen. Any others this morning? In the first service, we received the Schwamm family and the Landis family into our fellowship. So if you see them, encourage them as they walk out this faith together as family with us. And we also recognize Devin Emmerich as a graduate. So we pray for him as he continues his journey to York College and chemical or mechanical engineering he'll be going into. So all the prayers he can get. Yes, in the back.
I would just like to say thank you to everybody that helped make it a success yesterday. All the help was appreciated.
Yes, thank you. Everyone who came out and supported the car, truck, tractor, motorcycle show was a great blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are very thankful for this moment to be able to gather together as your people. Father, we know that as children we're called to be separate, we're called to be obedient and surrendered to your call on our lives. And we pray, Father, as we stretch through this life, Father, we would see you in our midst. That our actions, that our words would represent who you are. And Father, we pray for peace around this world. We consider Orlando and what has happened there. And we pray, Father, that you would allow your people to come forth and to spread love and to spread comfort and peace to those victims and their families. Father, we think of those that have celebrated the seizure activity being free for over a month now. And we thank you for our friend Daniel and continue to ask your blessings upon him and his family. We think of so many on our hearts right now, Jen and Pete and Henry and Carol and Orwin and Catherine and Jean and Sandy and Naomi and Richard and Gage. And we just pray, Father, you know specifically their need, and we ask that you would comfort them in this time. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring healing And we just thank you, God, for moving in our midst and celebrating new members here at Little Swatara. And we pray, Father, that you would allow our gifts to unfold and allow us to be used of you. And thank you, God, for each one here today. May you bless them and may you keep them safe and secure in your arms. And we thank you, God, for the fathers that are represented here today. And we pray your abundant blessing over each of them. We think of fathers that have gone on before us and the legacy that they've left behind. And we praise you, Father, for the difference they have made in our lives. But we know there's a missing piece this day. And we're just praying, Father, that you would fill that gap in our lives and help us to be able to celebrate who you are and the hope that you give us that one day we'll see them again. So, Father, thank you for gathering us here in this place. And we pray now for the confession of our sins during these next few moments of silent prayer and also those prayers on our hearts. Father, hear our prayers. Father, we recognize that you are all that we need in our lives. We consider the world around us and the way that it tries to consume us through different venues and the way the enemy is trying to persuade us in his direction. But Father, we claim Jesus upon our lives, Lord, his shed blood upon us, Lord, that we would walk in cleanliness, for we know that we were washed white as snow through his blood. And we thank you, Father, for the cross. We thank you for the difference it makes in our lives and the hope that we have of eternal life one day with you. But Father, while we remain here on this earth, we pray we would indeed be your representatives. We would act and we would speak as your children. So Father, we pray that peace would continue to go forth throughout this land, that we would continue to show love and compassion upon others. And Father, may we show the value and acceptance that you have showed to each of us. And we pray each of these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, it reads this: "Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." May we bless the Lord, and may we give with cheerful hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that indeed you are the owner of all things. And we praise you, God, that our very lives are in your hands. And we pray now, Father, during this offering, we would give sacrificially, knowing that it belongs to you. But Father, we pray that you would help us to give cheerfully and not out of obligation, but because you have called us to do so as an act of worship. And we thank you, God, for loving us and forgiving us and giving us this opportunity. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
Victory, oh victory, oh victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and taught me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up here the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is through him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Victory, oh victory, oh victory in Jesus, my Lord.
Amen. many of you know what this is? A library card. Do you know how much this costs? $0, that's right. Do you know how you can get one? At the library. Do any of you have any idea what this library card can get you?
Books.
Books. And what else? Movies. Can you think of anything else? Games, sometimes. And CDs. Do you even know what a CD is? Probably not. You know, this is a pretty good picture of something else. It paints us a picture of becoming part of God's family. Do you know how much it costs to become part of that? $0. And do you know how we can become part of his family? No idea? By just believing in God. It doesn't matter if we're a boy, girl, if we're whatever color we are, we're all part of his family. And we're all brothers and sisters. So turn to your neighbor and say, "Hi, brother. Hi, sister." The Bible also tells us that when you belong to the family through Christ Jesus, you are entitled to all of his benefits of being a child of God. All of the promises that God has made you in his word belong to you. Isn't that great? Yeah? Let's pray. Dear God, we are thankful that we can become your child through faith in Jesus Christ. We are thankful that it doesn't matter whether we're a boy or girl, black or white. We are thankful that in Christ we can all become one. In his name we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats.
Happy Father's Day to all you guys out there, all you grandfathers. Let's just not forget why we're here today. It's because the love of all of our fathers.
Can barely speak, he's so unyielding.
is love, 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 love. Who could thought to who you are?
This morning, I want us to consider that God has brought together the family. It all starts in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18, when the Lord God said,
It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.
I want us to notice this morning the words, not good. We just heard an incredible song describing God as a good, good father. And today, as we celebrate Father's Day, we realize when God saw his creation, it was very good. But then God looks at the state of man as not good. He's making this statement before the end of the sixth day. So we know that God will not rest until he finds a suitable helper for Adam. We have to believe that there's a defined need not being met. You see, Adam needs a companion to complement him in fulfilling the task of multiplying. What fathers and men need to hear is that Adam was not yet complete. He didn't have all he needed. Woman, then, we see, was created to meet that deficiency. Now, not every man will be married, nor will every man be given this opportunity to multiply. But the scripture is clear how it will be accomplished. And what happens next unfolds in verses 21 to 24 as the very beginning to the very first family on earth. It reads, "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man says this, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." This family had everything they could possibly need in the Garden of Eden. Their heavenly Father walked and talked with them in the cool of the day. And like us, they were given simple instructions. First to Adam from God, and then it's implied from Adam to the woman. They could eat of absolutely any tree in the garden, except from the fruit of the tree in the center. And not only given instructions, but given a death sentence if they did. So perhaps we get the fact they had no clue what death was yet. But seriously, friends, how much easier can it get? We've been so blessed with so much in life to enjoy. But it's always that one thing that we can't have that consumes us. Each of us here can probably name that one thing. And for some, we can look back and remember that thing we wanted so bad and actually getting it and then realizing it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. You see, that's what God wanted for our families all along. That's why God gives us healthy boundaries to avoid sin. It's in that avoidance we find true joy in our salvation. Nothing feels worse than guilt, than shame, that feeling of isolation. And fathers, we have an important role in making sure our children are protected by these boundaries. They need to understand our yes as yes and our no as no. And like God had done with Adam, we need to keep it simple, consistent, and real. I had once read about a little boy who used to escape his bedroom after being punished. He would crawl out of his bedroom window down an old fruit tree to the ground. And one day his father told him he was going to chop down that fruit tree because it hasn't produced fruit in a number of years. That evening, the boy and his friend bought a bushel of apples. And during the night, they tied those apples to the barren branches. The next morning, the man couldn't believe his eyes. He said to his wife, "Come look, I can't believe this. That old tree hasn't yielded fruit for years, and now it's covered with apples. And you know, honey, the most amazing thing? It's always been a pear tree." What boggles my mind and continues to boggle my mind is that our Heavenly Father continues to develop the family unit even after the newlyweds eat of the forbidden fruit together. Now, mind you, they're cast out of the garden with the woman given labor pains in childbirth. And Adam finds the ground cursed and having to labor to produce food to eat. But all the while, something I've never noticed before in this chapter is happening. It's in Genesis 3, verse 20. This woman God provided for him was still waiting for her name. And here in verse 20, Adam names his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. Now, up until this point, the only indication we have is in verse 12 when Adam replies to God's question, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And here's what Adam says. "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Now, guys, this isn't any excuse at all, but ladies, you wonder why your husband often says, "Woman." Well, now, guys, we can blame Adam. You know, isn't it just like men to procrastinate in the most important things? Our names certainly have tremendous meaning. And when Daddy calls out that full name with the middle name included, your children and teens know that something is up. It's not very often I call out Abigail Maylin or Malachi Scott or LaShane Jackson. But when I do, they know Daddy needs their attention. And fathers must learn to properly discipline their children that they may grow. So as the scripture continues with this developing family, we come to read in the first verse of chapter 4 that Eve becomes pregnant. And friends, let me tell you, the real family drama begins. Some think the boys Cain and Abel may have been twins, given no real time element between verses 1 and 2. Now, I don't know if we ever really thought about what this first family looked like, but the word dysfunctional could certainly cross our minds. We know Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. It sounds rather functional, right? But then the drama begins. We can see it happening before our very eyes in verse 4 of chapter 4 as Cain brings some fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel brings fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And here's where the Lord looks with favor on Abel and his offering, but not so much favor on Cain's. And let us not forget what happens. Cain becomes angry. Cain, we can say, becomes jealous to the point of murdering his brother. Now, this is where God's word carries some significant power. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to verse 7. It reads, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" And then he says, "If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door." And as often in our homes, when children attempt to please their fathers or parents in a variety of ways, the acceptance is taken on different levels. It's like our oldest and texting and asking her to limit her time on her phone. It reminds me of this story that went something like this. A teenage girl had been texting on her phone for about a half an hour. And then suddenly she stopped. "Wow," said her father, "that was a quick conversation. You usually text for hours on end. What happened?" And she replies to her father, "It was the wrong number." As fathers and parents, we do well by our children to tell them how valued, how appreciated they are, to guide them to what is right in God's eyes. There's way too many other voices causing them to feel like they're cast out and unworthy of anyone's attention. Friends, take the time to spend with your children while they're young, and even more so as they age and face the struggles of life. And even as far gone as we may seem, our Heavenly Father continues to use the family as the primary arena for bringing people to Himself. With confidence, today and every day, we can call Him a good, good Father, because despite our sinfulness, He continues to love us. And my prayer this morning for Father's Day is that no matter what our children do, we, like our Heavenly Father, will keep on loving them. That we will always choose to be more and more like our Heavenly Father and reflect His character of forgiveness and compassion, mercy and grace, loving and kindness shown through His only Son, Jesus. We know that our children have a way of pushing our buttons. But friends, the more we respond like Christ, the more our children will want to know Him. Be willing to say that we're sorry, admit that we're wrong. The shocking yet not so shocking news is this, and I want you to listen very closely. Our children are defining their Heavenly Father by the actions of their earthly father. Our children are defining their Heavenly Father by the actions of their earthly father. So when we make a mistake as fathers, it's important for us to get back up, to try to go on the right path in raising our children. And this morning, may it be a new start for many of us that we raise our children in the way that God would desire. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for those fathers among us. We thank You that the enemy can no longer have them before we are able to conceive that they are ours, and that You have designed them to be in relationship with their earthly father. And not only their earthly father, but their heavenly father. And so we pray in Jesus' name that as fathers we would rise up in faith, that we would demonstrate an unfailing love that Christ offers amidst our brokenness. I pray, Father, that we would be patient, we would offer forgiveness, and we would blaze a trail of freedom for our kids, and we would realize that we can be the fathers and the parents that You intended us to be. And it's in Jesus' most precious name that we pray. Amen.
Would you please rise for our final hymn?
And now, as you go into your world,
may love your children like God loves his children.
May you find your identity in being a son of the only perfect Father.
May you make it possible, make it impossible for your daughters to ever find a husband
as good as their dad.
May you teach your children that their mother is the most beautiful woman alive.
She's really pretty.
May you risk more,
worry less,
and play hard. May you lead your family not as a king, but as a servant
who protects their hearts.
May you laugh at the little things.
And finally,
may you lay down your life
for your family.
And may you introduce them
to a God that's already done that exact thing.
We hope that you have a great day today.
Have a great day today.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
May we go in peace, pointing our children to the love of their Savior. Amen.